Sarah Knight. I'm from the University of Delaware. I've actually, thank you for the introduction, but I've actually only been there a couple months. I'm new to academia. I worked in public health practice for about 15 years, and so my passion is around public health practice. And really why I went back to school, I'm kind of a new PhD as well, is really wanting to figure out how we can, as a field, do better with respect to health equity and social determinants of health. And so this is one of my first projects in that area. I'm working with the Delaware Division of Public Health. My co-authors are Dr. Carol Rattay, who's the director of our Division of Public Health for the state of Delaware. Paul Silverman is her deputy director, and Mary Helen Barrett is a consultant who is working with the division as well in terms of their strategic planning efforts. So I'm going to talk to you about some of the work we've been doing, really creating a strategic plan for health equity, and the balanced scorecard is a tool we've been using to accomplish that. I have no disclosures. Just a little background and context. I think there are two really exciting trends in the field that this project kind of represents and is the drawback for this project. One is the momentum around health equity and social determinants of health. And we heard that yesterday. We're going to hear it more today. A lot of work in this area, Healthy People 2020, the National Stakeholder Plan, lots of activity within state and local health departments, nonprofit organizations, really, I think, much needed and exciting attention in this area. And yet we're still, I think, struggling with sort of what does that mean and how do we translate what we know about the social determinants of health into actual practice changes. And so there are a lot of barriers and challenges in this area. At the same time, we have, on the other hand, all this attention, important and necessary attention to performance improvement and quality improvement, performance management, and that's evidenced with the FAB accreditation, the National Performance Standards. Many, I highlight here three issues of the Journal of Public Health Management and Practice in the last few years directly focused on quality improvement. I just saw last week a Frontiers journal specific to that area. Lots of increased academic and practice attention to quality improvement. And, of course, the Public Health Foundation, APHA, all sorts of activity. And I know I'm leaving out lots of organizations and actors in here, Robert Wood Johnson Foundations. Everybody's, I think, getting on board with both of these important issues. So that's sort of the backdrop for our project. And not coincidentally, the Delaware Division of Public Health has identified health equity and improving performance as two of its four strategic priorities over the next decade or so. So when our new division director came on board a few years ago, she came up with four priorities. Two of them are relevant to this talk. Oh, I'm missing my slides. Make sure I didn't forget anything here. Okay, so a little bit more background. In the spring of 2010, the division received support from ASTO as well as CDC funding, performance improvement grant from CDC, and then some technical assistance from the Results That Matter team. And I know Paul Epstein is here with us from the Results That Matter team, and he has a presentation tomorrow morning at 8:30, just a couple doors down, on some of the work they're doing with performance management. But really, the purpose of this project, the purpose of the funding and the support from the Results That Matter team, was to help the division develop a community balanced scorecard. We'll talk about what that means in a minute. Strategy maps from the balanced scorecard, and consider how that process, how that framework can both improve performance and then also contribute to our work in health equity. So it was sort of linking those two priorities that I mentioned earlier. So as many of you probably are aware, balanced scorecard is not a new concept. It's a performance management tool, allows managers to look at performance from different perspectives, and it has sort of some underlying assumptions about cause and effect and the relationship between those perspectives. It aligns inputs, processes, and outcomes, and really helps us focus on strategic priorities. Much of the work behind balanced scorecard came from Kaplan and Norton in the 90s. The community balanced scorecard for public health, again, I referenced the Results That Matter team, builds on the balanced scorecard framework, but really recognizes that a lot of the work we do in public health and in public agencies generally is not something that one organization can do independently. It's not, a lot of the work we do is not sort of within our own control or purview, and so it sort of builds on this frame of recognizing the role of partners, the role of collaborators, the role of the community. And so, similar to the balanced scorecard, it aligns priorities and key objectives, it illuminates those cause and effect assumptions, but the perspectives are a little bit different, and the process we go through is a little bit different. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that. So this is the template that comes from the Results That Matter team that is kind of the overarching top-level map, strategy map. This is an example of a strategy map. And you can see on the left-hand side, the different perspectives. So rather than, if we look back up at balanced scorecard, the four perspectives are learning and growth, business processes, financial and customer. The four perspectives in the community balanced scorecard are community assets, community process and learning, community implementation, and then ultimately health outcomes. And the idea here is that they build on one another, and there's a relationship between performance on the lower levels with performance as you go up to the higher level and ultimate objective of improving health status. Also important about this top-level strategy map is the relationship to the 12 FAB domains and the 10 essential services of public health. So this really takes that balanced scorecard and makes it into a tool for public health organizations trying to reach that ultimate objective and is aligned with those 10 essential services and FAB domains. So this was our starting point. And then the division went through a process of sort of translating this for our work in health equity. We convened the health equity strategy team about 2 years ago. It was a sort of a large launch. The director was involved. We began with a screening of unnatural causes. We recognized that we had kind of two training issues to deal with at the same time. One is sort of training and staff development around social determinants of health and health equity. At the same time, we had training needs around quality improvement, performance management, sort of shifting the paradigm in both of those areas simultaneously. So that process actually took a whole lot longer than we had initially envisioned. But our team included staff from across the division, every organizational level. We had leaders and we had frontline staff and we had subject matter experts and we had QI experts. We began with a process, I'm going to scroll down here, I hate this animation. We began with a process of brainstorming from and to statements, and this is part of the process and part of the framework that Paul's group has presented. The idea here is you begin with the end in mind, thinking about where you want to be, but recognizing where you're starting, and then the process of how to get there. So it's a logical process, but some examples for you related to health equity. So the from statement might be that our staff is not reflective of the population we aim to serve. So the to statement then becomes, we want our division staff to represent the population that we aim to serve, and how do you get there? Well, you get there through differences in human resources policies or hiring practices or cultural competency training and things like that. So we went through that process using those 12 domains that I showed you on the previous map, thinking through what are some of the objectives we might have related to health equity using those essential services. Then we drafted vision statements around all those things. We sorted into the perspectives. This is a process that took several months, several meetings, lots of different people involved, and we refined them, and we continue to refine them. And then we revised actual specific objectives based on each of those domains to really capture the intent of what we're trying to do with health equity. In a sense, we refine the 10 essential services as they apply to health equity. Eventually, about 6 months later, we ended up with an actual strategy map, which I'll show you in a minute. We sort of reconfigured our teams to think through the objectives and started developing indicators for each of those objectives, as well as researching promising practices for how we would go about achieving those objectives. And then this part is sort of ongoing. When I presented this, or when I proposed to give this talk back in February, I would assume we would have been much further along by now, and one of my lessons learned that I'll get to is the time it takes to do this kind of work. So we're still in the process of gathering baseline data and setting our targets. But this is our map. So you can see it reflects that initial template. And there's some shorthand in here, so I may have to explain some of these things. But ultimately, our top-level objective is to improve health equity. And I'll tell you how we define that in a minute. Recognizing what we need to do to achieve that, the second objective is to improve the social determinants of health. And this is really where that shift in thinking around how we go about doing our work is reflected. The next perspective down talks about how we work with our community partners, how we engage the community, how we raise awareness, how we promote advocacy in this area, and so forth all the way down the line until you see at the bottom are things like funding and staff competencies and statewide partnerships and things like that. So I want to talk through some of our indicators, just a few sample indicators, because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where I think the tool becomes so valuable, because it really gets us thinking about accountability, right? We've changed the way we think about what our ultimate goals are and how we get there. So our ultimate objective, improving health equity, our indicators, which as you can see is still a work in progress by sometime in the future. The number of census tracts that are statistically better than the state average with respect to the following indicators will increase from the current baseline. And we've highlighted these five. And as you can imagine, there was a lot of debate that went into sort of what are the key indicators we want to be tracking. There were, 20 we could have chosen. And folks from HIV had, were advocating for an HIV indicator, and the folks who work in MCH are advocating for those kind of indicators. And so this is why this is such a process. But these were the five that we decided were going to be most representative of what we were trying to achieve within our state relative to health equity. And as you can also see, these are what we traditionally think of as disparity outcomes, and that was part of the debate too, right? So health equity moves us beyond thinking about disparities in outcomes, and that's where I think our second objective and the indicators become really exciting. If you recall, our second objective was to really improve the social determinants of health and the role that they play in those health outcomes. So the focus here is on things like child poverty, unemployment, persons not registered to vote, people who don't have a high school diploma by age 25, the rate of violent crime, and occupants per room, which is the housing indicator of overcrowdedness. So this is where I think it gets really exciting, because these are the things that are going to eventually move the needle on health equity. And these are the things that the health department is now holding itself accountable for that it didn't used to do. And so we're still, again, still working through what our targets and what our baselines are in this area. But this is where I think the value of this kind of approach comes through. It gets us more specific and focused on the right things. So I'm actually going to skip through some of our other indicators in the interest of time here. I'm going to talk about our next steps. Obviously, we've identified our objectives. We have indicators for those objectives, and we have to think about how we're going to go about achieving them. And so part of this process is thinking through what are some of the initiatives we need to put in place to make that happen. And we're in the process of doing that. We really have kind of four key areas that we're looking at right now. One is training for all staff. I mean, that came up as a huge need when we went through those from and to statements. And so we're doing a lot of professional development and training for staff. We also want to think about eventually health equity in all policies, or health in all policies, health impact assessment for other state agencies. So this is sort of, we have internal staff development, and then we hope to work with partners in the Department of Health and Human Services around health in all policies and health impact assessment. We're also in the process of beginning a internal organizational self-assessment that's based on both the Bar High project, and then I know Gail Brandt, I don't know if she's here, but she's giving a talk. ASTO has been working on kind of revising that for state health departments, and I have some references at the end for those. We're definitely investing more in data and analysis. That was a real gap early on. And then we're trying to shift our work to be more of a place-based strategy, more of an organization focused on place-based strategies. We have a lot of work to do with respect to reporting and tracking. I mean, one of the balanced scorecard kind of premises is that you need to be tracking data regularly, and so we're in the process of gathering data and figuring out how to manage that process. And as I said, this is always a work in progress, so we're refining as we go. So I really want to talk about lessons learned, because I think this has been a really valuable process. Like I said, I mean, one of the things I'm really concerned about is how do we go about making some of these shifts? And I think this tool that we used, the process that we went through, was very valuable in many ways. And at the same time, I think there's some lessons that I hope to share with others about what we could have done differently and what others may learn. One is just to really recognize that need for training and professional development, both in terms of health equity concepts as well as performance improvement and quality improvement, performance management. I think we're asking a lot of staff in terms of making changes, and it's not just in any one area, it's in both of those areas. So that takes time and energy and resources. I also just want to speak for a minute of the value of the community balanced scorecard as a framework and as a tool for doing this kind of work. I think, you know, I've been through several strategic planning efforts and organizations that I've been a part of, and it's always a challenge. I think there are lots of tools that are valuable. I think this one's particularly valuable in that it focuses an organization on those outcomes that are most, and accountability, which I don't know that all those planning processes always do very well. So for strategic planning generally, I think this is a wonderful approach. For health equity in particular, I thought it was very valuable because of the integration that it offered for our planning efforts. So we had, health equity isn't about a program or an initiative. It's about how we do our work differently. And so this process, because it was cross-cutting and because it had staff from across the division, and because the objectives were at each of those levels, it allowed us to really think about health equity in an integrated way. And so I think that the community balanced scorecard is a really useful tool for doing that. There are many things I didn't share in terms of the support that is behind that and some of the tools and things that help us do that. Staff issues, there are always staff issues. Nice thing about our project was we did have kind of buy-in at the top, and that facilitated the process, and we had people from all across the division. At the same time, we had turnover, capacity issues. You know, strategic planning is always sort of what you do when your other stuff is done, which never happens. And so, as I said, this has taken a lot longer than any of us thought it would. Momentum, priorities, things change. We lose a director, and so all those issues, which I don't think are unique to this, but it's just something to keep in mind in terms of time. Availability of the right kind of data. I think that was particularly important when we think about health equity. So now we're shifting some of the data we want to look at, and we don't necessarily have it. And so thinking through data as an initiative, we need to have better data systems. We need to have them more coordinated and integrated. At the same time, we're trying to use data for this process. And so there was kind of a chicken and egg thing going on in terms of making this happen. And that's why data is one of our initiatives. The last and probably most important thing is the community involvement. I mentioned early on that this community balanced scorecard, the beauty of this is recognizing the role of collaborators and community partners, and we didn't do that. And the reason we didn't do that is because I think the health department realized we had so much to figure out internally and needed to get our ducks in a row internally before we could go out and talk to community partners. Now, I say that I pushed from the beginning, knowing what I know about health equity and how important that is, that we need to be doing that. And so we sort of had an agreement from the beginning that we'll do this first, but we recognize that this is a work in progress and that when we do go out to the community, these things might change. So those priority indicators might change, or the way we go about doing things, or maybe even some of the objectives may change, because we need to recognize what our partners are doing and what the community needs are beyond what we think they are. So that's a piece that I think was potential we didn't realize with this process, and maybe I'll come back next year and share with you how that evolved in terms of the role of the community. So I think that's something we missed. And that was it. These are just some resources for some of the things I talked about, and I wanted to make sure you had some references for some of those things. And my contact information at the university, and I'll let next book go.